Assume for a moment that God laid down this marvelous testimonial to his control over history. As he did in his written word, and as he did in the gospel and the stars, you have a God who keeps his word, a God that can be counted on to back up what is declared by the semi-heathen prophet in the book of Numbers. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do, or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? And the teaching that we're now entering into is such a powerful demonstration of God's ability to carry out his word. It makes the promises related to the communion that we're about to enter into so easy to believe by comparison. That's why I teach, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not something you can manufacture by willpower alone. The demonstration of God's performance, when seen, causes the faith to rise and claim that promise. As I've been saying through much of the teaching tonight, the tragedy of Christianity is most of them don't believe the word. They don't believe the resurrection. They don't believe the miracles recorded therein. They don't believe Jesus spoke and not a thing became everything. He didn't just rearrange elements from nothing. He spoke and everything came into being. Now it's with that power, that God, that Jeremiah says in one of his passages, who will hasten his word to perform. And the word hasten is best analogized by a magnifying glass that catches the rays of the sun and concentrates them as a force on the object you are focused on, and thus heating up with that captured ray of the sun. In essence, everything that God is, he will capture and concentrate on his word to make it come to pass. Now, when we take this cup tonight, the simple promise that God will hasten to perform is we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. I don't know, it must be in the thousands now, number of times that I've sat in front of this camera and said, correct what the traditions have distorted in the teaching of Paul. Paul never said when he gave instruction on the table of the Lord, examine yourself whether you're worthy to partake. He knew even he, Paul, wasn't worthy, having borne witness in his own testimony that chiefest of sinners he was. What Paul said was don't partake unworthily, which is an adverb defining the manner of partaking rather than the condition of the partaker. And he defined what partaking unworthily is, eating and drinking, not discerning the Lord's body, not recognizing what the record of word from the sacrifice of Abel to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross taught, that the shedding of blood is the outpouring of life, and the worth of the blood is the worth of the life, and that the shedding of the blood of another God was going to take as an act of grace and unmerited favor in the place of the sinner. And by identification in the Old Testament, by laying of the hand on the head of an animal, because God says that's the way he would allow the identification to take place, and in the New Testament, by the belief of the heart and the statement of the mouth, where we confess that Christ, by his death, was one worth enough to stand in the place of all of us, and that God would take his shed blood in my place, that I might then be made worthy. But the blood of the Lamb is a promise on which all of God's integrity stands, on which all of his force will be concentrated to hasten it to come to pass. And to partake worthily is to discern that happening when Christ died, that this symbol of the blood shed by Christ is the foci of our attention, that we might remember him, not with eyes on our unworthiness. That's a given. But with eyes on his worthiness, and that God took him in my place and your place, and to deny the adequacy of the death of Christ to atone or cover me for all of my sins and to remove them away is to question the value of the life of him who shed his blood and not discern that value that God gave and saw in that son who died in our place, and fail to appropriate then the promise that all of God's forces behind we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. No matter what your condition, you lift this cup with faith and discern that Christ died for you, and you that instant are made worthy for the blood of the Lamb. Unmerited favor, grace from God. Thank him for it and partake with joy as we lift the cup. Same God of all power who backs his word stands behind the promise of Isaiah 53 that he not only carried our sins away, the Lord laid on him our sicknesses and our infirmities, and with his stripes ye were healed. He bore away sicknesses, he bore away infirmities. And just as much as we can claim the promise we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, and just as much as the power and force of God's being is focused to hasten his word to come to pass, God's power and strength is focused to claim, or rather to bring to pass, what we claim as the promise: with his stripes ye were healed. He bore our sicknesses, he bore our infirmities, and we can put it in the past tense and personalize it and say with Peter, with his stripes I was healed. As you claim that promise too, as we lift the bread together in Jesus' name. Now, on the telephone, I want calls after we go to the table of the Lord. Now, you go on telephone, talk to me right now.
Thank you.